This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hello, and welcome back to Interstate, the State of Kansas recruiting show. Really excited to get this back up and going now that high school football games across the state of Kansas have been going on for a little bit over a month now. As always, I'm joined by Ryan Wallace of GoPowerCat.com and Kevin Flaherty of our more 24/7 Sports national side. I am Michael Swain, the Kansas beat writer for 24/7 Sports, and we're going to talk a lot about the 2025 class in the state of Kansas. It's loaded with talent. All of us have been able to go out to varying levels to see games so far this year. Ryan, I know you've been out on the road, I think the most of the three of us. Where all have you been able to go so far to see games?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think where I haven't been. Kevin and I have been down to Wichita and back because we both live in Kansas City. So we've been down and back to Wichita twice already in the first 4 weeks. I've been out and saw a really, really good Gardner-Edgerton team just put a whooping on Mill Valley. And I've also kind of hung around local and seen Blue Valley and Blue Valley Northwest. It was a John Priceless Blue Valley, but still a lot of Huskies that I was able to see, and some up-and-comers on Blue Valley as well in 2025. And then it doesn't pertain to this show, but caught a little Rockhurst and Liberty North on the Casey Moe side.
That's still good. Well, you know, Kevin and I kind of got a little bit of both action this past Friday. Got to see Blue Valley Northwest against Lee Summit North, which I think might be the most talented team in the KC Metro, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. But, I mean, we could start so many places. I think we should probably start, Ryan, with where you were this past Friday, getting to see Jaden Woods, who I think – we've talked about this on the show before. We probably would agree is probably the consensus best player right now in the 2025 class. You mentioned the game, what you saw, but just what did you see from Jaden, getting to see him in person now that his junior season is really underway?
Well, you know, it was an interesting game for that defense because the Gardner-Edgerton offense is, you know, kind of that triple option kind of wing T St. Thomas Aquinas style look that's just trying to catch you off guard through the air. So it was a game where Jaden was probably less dynamic if you go back and look on the tape. But I think a lot of that had to do with him trying to play his assignments and trying to be more of a run stopper more than anything. But, you know, it wasn't anything that Jaden didn't do. It was more just Mill Valley's defense in general just could not stop Gardner-Edgerton. Like I said, just a really fun roster. I think some sleeper guys on the Trailblazers. For anybody that's interested in getting on Huddle, you can find a lot of interesting kids on there. But when I talked to Jaden afterwards, I think that's kind of where I got more into the meat and potatoes of what fans and what we as recruiting analysts were interested to know. And that was more on how recruiting is going. Because the last time Kevin and I saw him was in the summer. He was kind of working the clock at a 7-on-7 event at Mill Valley. And things really hadn't gotten started yet for the 2025 class yet. And so having a chance to talk to him, he said he's been trying to do the best he can, trying to find that kind of, if you want to call it a work-life balance with kind of the communication part and relationships that comes every day, he said, from different colleges. But I'll kick it back to you guys by saying this, and I'll have a little bit of a story coming out in 247 Sports, excuse me, about Jaden here probably in the next 24 to 48 hours about kind of what he was able to tell me with regards to recruiting. He mentioned, and I'm going to try to do my best, the article will have all of it, but off the top of my head, I asked him what are the schools he's hearing from the most, and he went through a list that included K-State, KU, Oklahoma State, Alabama, Tennessee, USC, Purdue, and I believe Missouri. And I would also throw in Penn State because that was another school that he mentioned to me when I asked him kind of some schools that he was hoping to see if he could squeeze in some game day visits this fall. Of course, he's already been to Missouri, saw them in what he called a good game. I call it kind of an entertaining game, Middle Tennessee and Missouri, where the Raiders almost beat the Tigers. He said he hopes to get back up to K-State. He wants to get down to Alabama and Tennessee. And he said if the schedule will allow, potentially Penn State, but he said that could be one that he saves for the offseason. I think he's going to be a busy guy, fellas, coming into the winter and spring. I think he's going to be a busy guy. Said he wants to try and, after the season, cut things down to a top 10 and basically focus on those 10 kind of as we move into spring. And then here was, again, if depending on when the podcast goes up and depending on when I can write the article, I'm not sure who will hear this or read this first, but wants to be done, guys, before summer. So that means he is probably looking at an April or a May decision. Again, that's kind of where he stands right now. So again, as I toss it back to you, Swain, I think it's just going to be imperative that you get in with him as soon as you can. If you're a college coach, try and get him on an unofficial in the fall. And if not in the fall, you're fighting tooth and nail to get one here, maybe around bowl time, bowl prep, try and get one of those practice visits in from him. Cause again, I think he's going to be cutting that top 10 down probably first of the year.
Wow. That's a fast timeline. Yeah. And I think, you know, whoever has the mileage card, right, for whatever airline you fly, Southwest, Delta, American, that's going to be pretty good because these aren't necessarily close places either, right? You're talking Penn State, Alabama, West Coast, if he does visit USC. This one feels like, to me, it'll probably end up with, you know, Jaden going out of the region to go play at a perennial college football power. Kevin, I know you watch a lot of Huddle stuff. What have you thought about Jaden's start to the season? And I guess give your two cents on a recruitment that is blowing up, and I really don't see any signs of it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, no, I actually told Ryan, you know, if you looked at where Jaden was a year ago, and he was a tremendous player a year ago, and you kind of mapped things out and said, this is where I would like Jaden to go next, that's where he's at now. You know, when you look at, he's got more polish, he's doing things more consistently. This is going to sound kind of funny, but, you know, when he sacks the quarterback, it doesn't feel like an accident. You know, it feels like there was an intent behind the move that he made, that he was, you know, doing the hand fighting and the different things there. This is a guy, you know, that we've talked about, I think, totally remade his body between last year and this year because he dropped all the weight for wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then when you look at where he got down to for wrestling, sort of rebuilt himself up. You know, when we went to Mill Valley, I know Ryan, they were saying that he measured with a 6'10 wingspan. So yeah. when you're talking about a 6'3" guy and somebody saying, well, I don't know if he's long enough to be a defensive end. He's long enough to be a defensive end. He's got that kind of length to him. He tests really well. You're talking about a guy that runs in the 4.6s at that size and, you know, has all of those different things you look for. I think all three of us would admit Jaden's a great kid too. He really is. He's somebody that's a joy to talk to. I have the feeling myself, you know, kind of along the lines of what you were saying, Swain, I tend to think that, you know, maybe one of those SEC offers or something is going to prove to be a little bit too much. You know, I know most people here are familiar with him. Jaden's dad did play at Kansas State briefly, wound up going to Pitt State, you know, sort of through the process or whatever else. I don't know that because of those ties, he's super locked into to Kansas State. I don't think he has anything against Kansas State. I think that, you know, Kansas State and Kansas are both schools that he's considering. But at the end of the day, I really do think that it's going to be one of those things where it might wind up being a quote unquote national offer that swings him. And so we'll wind up seeing who that is.
I feel like if he is to stay local, guys, I think it would probably lean K-State for a lot of the reasons that Kevin just laid out. But I also sense that This is an Avery Johnson style recruitment in the sense of, I think a lot of things would kind of have to lean K-State's way. Sure. Some dominoes might have to fall. With Avery, it was, you know, Arkansas was solidly in the picture, then they weren't. Notre Dame was very solidly in the picture, then they weren't, for their own different reasons, right? I think, Swain, that would probably be the way that I think things would have to go for the Wildcats is, you know, for whatever reason, some other teams that maybe Jaden's high on would have to fade mm-hmm. on him. And then maybe K-State would be maybe what I would consider like a more serious contender. I think they'll be in the mix. But, yeah, I mean, I would have to agree as we sit here today, this does feel like a recruitment that will be national and could likely end up out of state.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't – this is not one that I have a strong KU is going to be a contender feel. You know, he was slated to visit KU in late July. There was a big visit event that KU actually got a commitment from. That Jaden was kind of supposed to go to and then had something come up, and that's not typically a good sign, right? If something, you know, if you want to make the visit happens. So right. We'll have to see. I agree. I think probably national, and, you know, if it does stay regional, you know, look, we saw with Juju Marks too, right? Missouri has a way of getting in with the kind of the Kansas City area kids and making good connections. So I'd be really interested to see how that plays out as well. But we can get to another guy in the Kansas City area who Kevin and I went to go see. And I know, Ryan, you've been out to see him as well. And that's Andrew Babalola, the offensive tackle from Blue Valley Northwest. He right now is ranked as the number one player in the state of Kansas. I think, again, we all kind of agree that, hey, long-term projection, like he could end up developing into something that is maybe better than Jaden Woods. At the moment, still a work in progress. I think anyone at Blue Valley Northwest would tell you that. I think Andrew would tell you that. He's playing his first season of varsity football. And I know Kevin and I went to go see him against, you know, Williams and Wary, which is a great matchup to see. And there were a couple reps where they went against each other. I think, you know, Andrew Babalola won a couple of those, but I think at times too, Williams and Wary showed why he's a five-star prospect, you know, with the strength and the speed and the blend of it all that makes him really potent. So Kevin, kind of give me your thoughts on what you saw from Andrew this past Friday night against arguably what's going to be the best defensive line he's going to play all year.
Yeah, I mean, the growth curve has to get a little easier now, right? Because you aren't going up against Williams one area, and you know he's not the only Division I guy even on that defensive line. And so when you look at that, I talked to Coach Ryder a little bit before the game, and one of the things that he had said was that, you know, Andrew was progressing the way that they wanted him to progress. You know, there was always going to be a rawness here. This is a kid that has more experience playing high-level basketball than he does playing high-level football. And so, you know, when he came out, you know, the opener, I think, was against St. James. You expected things to be rocky. You didn't expect him to necessarily know how to do everything, you know, not just from a physicality standpoint, but from a technique standpoint, how to pick up blitzes, you know, when they send multiple guys your way, you know, you think about watching it and knowing, hey, if there's two guys blitzing, you always get the inside guy because the other guy's going to have a longer path. Well, that's not necessarily something that's easy to do if you haven't been doing it. And so I think when you saw him against Lee Summit North, like you said, I thought some of the reps were extremely positive. Yeah. I think, you know, the athleticism is there. The frame is there. You know, as a guy who's measured just shy, I think, of 6'6" over the summer, I think they list him at about 280 pounds now. You know, that probably looks about right, 275, 280, I would say. Big hands, long arms. Looks like what a future NFL left tackle usually looks like in high school from a, you know, size, frame, athleticism standpoint. Mm-hmm. Because of that rawness, I think, you know, all of us here, and I don't want to speak for everybody, I think there's a little bit of a reluctance for us to maybe put him within the state where he's ranked. You know, I'd maybe have him down like a spot or two within that 2025 class, which is still high. It's still a four-star player or whatever else. But I do think that he's growing and you're seeing the improvement in things that you would want to see.
Yeah, Ryan, obviously I know you went to go see him too. And it feels like week to week, right, there has been improvement where I'm sure, Ryan, the version you saw, maybe isn't as good as a version that Kevin and I saw last week. But when you got to see him, I believe it was against Blue Valley.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of him?
Oh, well, I mean, I think I would agree with and echo what Kevin said in the sense of everything's there. When Kevin was talking about him being 280, this is a guy who his 280 probably looks like other people's like 250, 260. Sure. I mean, he's going to get up to 315 pounds, 320 pounds and be fine and play probably fine at it. But it's a lot for me, the most precise way I can and to condense everything down to what Kevin said is that he's just the type of guy that is still processing. The game hasn't really slowed down for him yet. And in the game against Blue Valley, it was funny because, guys, you could see snaps and reps where he was like, okay, I need to punch with this hand, you know, lead with this foot. And then as that rep was continuing, there would be moments where he was just kind of like, all right, I've done what I need to, and then just toss the guy down. You know what I mean? And it's like once he gets into just mauling and the game slows down for him, which it will over the next year, like you said, Swain, he's only been his first year playing varsity football. Once things slow down, then you will see the potential that everybody is, you know, fighting after. Because he's definitely worthy of being, you know, a highly rated recruit. I just think maybe we were a little early on projecting him kind of the way we have.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. And look, here's the story. So at the KU game, he was at Kansas this past weekend for the BYU game. You know, obviously all three of us have seen Andrew in person several times and he's a sharp kid. He recognizes us and he walks up to me, shakes my hand. And like, I was like, oh my gosh, his hand like swallows mine. He's, right. You know, what you'd consider like pause. And I'm like, yeah, like once he figures it out, because he is a really smart kid. And I think in terms of the broader recruitment, right, I look at an offer that came in this past week from Michigan and say, yeah, that might be the blend of what Andrew Babalola looks for, because academics are super, super important to him. At least that's what he's told us, right? And you're looking at him too, right? Can you find the blend of a really high-level academic institution and also a really high-level football program? And so I think a school like Michigan really could end up being like that. Obviously, who knows how this is going to play out over the next kind of 6-7 months. But I think a school like that could be one that ends up being a player just because, again, it checks the right boxes for him. And I'll be really interested to see what happens with the two in-state schools. I think it's too early to make a hierarchy or anything like that. I think he's taking the game day visits to try and get a feel for it. I think the junior day visits in January will be really big once he has time to get around and maybe see a Michigan or go see some more schools that are maybe on the outer outskirts of the region.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a higher level recruit, but he kind of reminds me of a lot of these Northwestern guys that have come from Kansas City and Missouri and everything else. They go to Northwestern, they fill out, they use the weight room, they go to the combine, and then everybody says, oh my gosh, Northwestern had this freak of an athlete here, you know, who's blowing up the testing and everything. And I think it's important to note that not only is he early in his football journey, he's early in his weight room journey, right? And I think that's an important thing to note too, because he is going to fill out and get a lot stronger. I know, Swain, when we saw him at KU camp this summer, the linemen were in pads, but there were times when he would contact a guy and he'd be low man where you should bulldoze that guy. And he just didn't quite have that pop or that weight in the backside yet to finish that block. And I think as the weight room continues to go too, you know, he's only going to get better as far as all that goes.
Yeah, and we can move on to another one of his teammates that I think his recruitment will continue to grow, and that's Brock Keith. He's one that I think we all saw when he did our little high school tour back in February. Mm-hmm. You know, his recruitment's really interesting because Baylor was really an early offer. I don't know where that's going to go now, but Duke has offered Kansas and Missouri, and at least for KU, they went in and evaluated him this past Friday. Andy Koldernicki, the offensive coordinator, who also recruits Blue Valley Northwest, was there to see him. He takes a game day visit the next day. He gets an offer. One interesting thing, he's still managing a foot injury, it would seem, because at the game day visit, he had a boot on his foot. I know that's something that has been bugging him going back to the summertime. So that's just something to keep in mind, too, if you're going to go and turn on Brock Keith's film. But he's a really interesting prospect because he's 6'5", you know, maybe not the longest arms, but you look at the frame, he's someone that can really put on the weight, I think, and has kind of that, just the way he kind of walks and moves, you look at him, you're like, yeah, he could get up to, you know, 300, north of 300 too. But another guy that I think on the weight room is going to take some time. But Kevin, what did you think of what you saw from him?
Yeah, I thought he was really good. The three of us all saw him at UC Report too. Was there. And so, you know, and that was, you know, obviously we had seen him in person before that, but that was when I was kind of like, oh man, this kid flashes because he's got a lot of athleticism, you know, for a guy that size. I think, you know, this summer, if I remember right, before the injury, he was running like a sub-4.6 short shuttle, which for an offensive lineman is excellent. You know, his vertical is up around 27, 28 inches. So, I mean, he's got a lot of that athleticism. Also a really technical guy. Like, he's a really good football player. He knows how to make his blocks and everything. I thought when we saw him on Friday, I thought Andrew Babalola maybe had the best reps against Williams-Wanieri in terms of when everything went right for Babalola, he finished that rep better. But I thought that overall Heath gave Wanieri a lot more trouble. You know, I feel like he stalemated him a lot more. And you know, I'm interested, you brought up the arms and everything, because that is the sort of thing that, you know, everybody wants tackles right now, and very few people want interior offensive linemen. And so it'll be interesting to see how schools see him, if they see him as a tackle or if they see him as somebody that needs to bump inside. But Ryan, a guy that I think athleticism, technically, frame, you know, in terms of being able to fill out, you know, I think a lot of that's there for him.
I really like him. I think it just so happens that he plays in the shadow of Babalola. I mean, literally and figuratively. You know, I wonder if Brock's more about 6'4". I don't know if he's 6'5", but again, that's playing into what you were saying, Kevin, that he is going to be probably best suited for the interior as a mobile guard, but he's so cerebral. He also comes from, you know, you talk about bloodlines and lineage. You know, he grew up in a household where his older brother, Jackson Heath, blood brother Jackson Heath, went to Columbia and was a pretty good tight end for Blue Valley Northwest and ended up playing several years at Columbia. And then stepbrothers, Blake Lawrence and Tyler Lawrence. So Blake, I believe, went to Nebraska and Tyler to KU, or do I have that backwards?
Yeah. Tyler went to KU and then wound up transferring to Pitt State.
There it is. But so anyway, I mean, growing up in that household, and I think Brock told us he considers them brothers. That's how long they lived together. Point of that story being, when you're the youngest of that, you know, athletic group, you can imagine how he got bullied and, you know, also kind of learned things about being an athlete and about being a football player. And you see that in the way that he's the aggressor in the line of scrimmage. Kevin, he is, to me, Sam Hecht 2.0. And we love Sam Hecht coming out of Mill Valley. He ends up taking a preferred walk-on offer at Kansas State. Again, kind of a guy that needed that weight room progression, but was very technically savvy. And in a matter of 2 years has worked his way into pretty much the two deep right now at K-State. I mean, if he's not on the two deep publicly, he's probably on the two deep behind the scenes, right? Or will be next year. So I think Brock Heath is a guy that, you know, Swain has his offers listed up there right now, Baylor, Duke, Kansas, and Missouri. I'm with you, Swain. I think that offer sheet can fill out and should fill out sooner than later once his junior tape starts getting out there.
Swain, what did you think of him?
I thought he was good. I thought you mentioned the movement skills. I thought that was what was most impressive, was the understanding of leverage. And look, going up against Kamori Moore, you know, who is probably 6 foot, but probably is 280, 290 right now. I think the ability to deal with that sort of force and power as someone that isn't really at the same point probably in his weight room journey, I thought that was probably the most impressive part to me. And I guess, you know, I look long-term, right? He's another guy that's got the athleticism to fill out and the type of guy that a KU or a K-State would take. And in 3 years would, you know, look totally different and be able to play at the Big 12 level and really be a good player. So I'm fascinated to see what that offer list looks like. let's say probably like early February, once kind of all the schools have seen the tape, they've had that period where they go on the road in January and they can go recruit and see kids. I think I'll be really interested to see what that offer list looks like at the end.
Ryan, do we know where K-State sits? I mean, I know they haven't offered Heath, but do you have any idea about the process there at all?
I mean, if I had to guess, it'd probably be one of two things. Potentially the height. You know, I think you see the guys that K-State seems to be going after, and unless you're kind of that center build, which is like a Kyle Rockers, who they have committed right now from Iowa, everybody else that they're going after, whether they see you as a guard or a tackle, is like 6'6", you know, 6'7", the Babalolas of the world. So maybe that's it. As you mentioned, not a lot of teams are looking for, you know, scholarship guards right now. But yeah. At the same time, you know, we've seen K-State take those types. So I would think for me, it's more wanting to see if he can prove that he can put that weight on, but also maybe seeing a little bit more of this junior tape and how he plays at the weight he is now. And can they see that, you know, projecting? Either way, my answer would be, I think K-State's late to the party here. Are they too late? I don't know. But, you know, I think commend the Missouri Tigers and the Kansas Jayhawks staff for kind of seeing the long term here and trusting their gut on what they see without, you know, needing a little bit more. I think that's a smart play by both those staffs.
Yeah, one guy I'm really interested to see what K-State does with it is Charlie Woolben from DeSoto. I got the chance to talk to him Monday night about his visit to Kansas, and he had a lot of positive things to say. KU's really, ever since they saw him at camp, they've been really excited about him, right? They offered him right after the camp, had him come back a couple days later for a visit. Like, this is a guy that I think in terms of in-state prospects, you want to do like the kind of supply demand, like the guy KU likes the most, that has the best shot with. Like, I think that's what Charlie is at this point in time. And, you know, Nebraska's offered him as well. You know how Matt Rhule and that staff operates in terms of track times, height, length, explosiveness. I think he's a guy I'll go see in 2 weeks' time, the day before KU plays UCF, I want to say, maybe. Mm-hmm. I'll go see him then, and I'll be really, really interested to see what he looks like in person again after seeing him in the summer. But what do you think, Ryan? Because K-State got him in camp and didn't offer.
Right.
Is this one where it's a scheme fit deal because he is more of a four-man defensive end instead of a three-man defensive end?
I think you're right. You know, I think a lot of it was let's get him at camp. Let's work him out in a couple different areas. I was at that camp. He was at their O-line, D-line elite camp, and I thought Charlie did fine. You know, for a guy who's probably 215 right now, could be playing at, I don't know, he could be playing at 210, could be playing at 220. I'll be interested to see what he says to you about that, Swain. But I, you know, I think wanting to see a little bit more weight and weight room development probably from him, but also I think scheme probably plays into K-State being a little bit more hesitant with him right now because again, this isn't a knock, but you need a little bit more evaluation time when you're evaluating like at the 4A level, especially a guy that's already kind of a project at the 4A level. Sure. And so on top of that though, too, what you mentioned with scheme, K-State right now, probably if I had to guess, wants to see a little bit more of whether he's going to be their Sam, that kind of hybrid edge, or whether he's going to be the type that they feel confident will put the weight on and put a hand in the ground in an odd man front and a three man front. So that would probably be my answer as to K-State's hesitancy here. But I like Charlie. I think the potential's there. And I think he tests really well too, Kevin. I think that's where Nebraska got in early, is they saw those testing times. And like you said, Matt Rhule's big on, you know, does he check the boxes, you know, sprinting this, we'll trust that his body will get there. And that's exactly what the Huskers seem to do first.
Yeah. And he has a lot of core strength too. I mean, in addition to, you know, running really well, he's a thrower in track. You know, he throws javelin, discus, and shot put, you know, which is kind of funny when you see him in person. You know, I don't want to say he's a string bean, but he's kind of a long, slender guy.
Looks like a sprinter.
He's not what you think about when you think about, you know, somebody throwing the shot put for their high school team. And yet, you know, that's what he does. I think, you know, the thing that kind of stinks a little bit from our perspective, not necessarily from his high school team's perspective, because, hey, you're trying to win football games. But, you know, DeSoto kind of deploys him as like a 4-eye a little bit. So he's playing inside,
right,
you know, by the guard and the tackle. And so you don't really get to see him bend the edge, which is what Kansas would want him to do, or what whoever takes him as an edge is going to want him to do, is line up on the outside and try to get that edge with his speed, with his burst, with his, you know, with his length and everything. You don't really see that a ton on tape. He's pretty much straight ahead, engage blockers, try to get off the block and go do something. And so you do see kind of a different skill set. I think he'll hold up well against the run as he fills out, because he has so much experience with that from DeSoto, and he's got some really good stuff of that on tape. I think the only shame of it is, you know, gosh, I'd love to see him line up as like a wide nine or something and really get after a quarterback and kind of see what he can do in space. And that's just not something he's asked to do at this level. If you're going to see him do that, you're probably going to need to go ahead and get him to your camp and line him up out there and have him do it that way.
And this is why camps are so fun, Kevin, because that's exactly what I got to see when I watched him at camp. Literally, they lined him up as a kind of like on the outside shoulder of the tackle and said, go get him. And if you listen to the KU coaches talk and press conferences or things like that, like the word bend comes up more than like football or like a player's name. Like they are so much about the ability to bend, and you really did see that at camp. And look, that could be something that in the end could help a school like KU keep him under the radar, where playing a different role in high school than what it'll play in college, right? If you're school from Oklahoma State and you turn on the tape, you're like, well, okay, maybe. But then if you get on camp, then you actually see what he can do. And that would be a reason why I think schools would pull the trigger on an offer. One guy I want to move to that I think you guys were able to see earlier this year that I know KU and K-State have both offered is Bryson Hayes from Mays. I know obviously was one of Avery Johnson's targets last season. Yeah, last season. Ryan, I'll start with you. From what you saw from Bryson there in the game, I believe you guys may have seen a half.
Yep. Saw him against BJ Kennedy in Topeka.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Nothing different than what we saw, or I guess both of us, because he, I think, camped at both camp, both colleges. But what I saw at K-State's camp, you know, compact kid, 5'11", maybe 5'10", doesn't have like an outrageously long catch radius, but he doesn't need it because he's easily one of the quickest guys in the state. And I might steal this from Kevin, because you were probably going to say this, so I apologize if I'm taking it from you. But Kevin brought up a good thing at Mays that night, which is he's a different kind of speed than for anybody that got to see Trey Richardson last year, right? Because Trey was, again, a shorter body, not a long a wingspan or anything like that, but also very and not quite as probably built as Bryson is, not as muscular and compact. Little bit leaner, but still, if we're talking about speed, Trey Richardson was a different kind of speed. I think he was a guy that was going to beat you, whether it was in 10 yards or 90 yards. Bryson is really good out of the gate, probably the first 5 to 10 yards. And he's still very fast after that, but that seems to be where he makes his killing. And that's where he gets open so often. Really good receiver, continues to polish. I was impressed with kind of his route tree that he was showing. It'll be, this is a recruitment, guys, that I think we're all interested to see whether it takes off, whether it kind of plateaus. Obviously, I don't think it will go down, but without Avery Johnson, it was very evident that, you know, they're going to look to get him the ball more because they don't have as many guys like they did last year. But at the same time, they don't have an Avery Johnson at quarterback that can put the ball in places that Avery did and give Bryson crazy, you know, 100, 150 yard games. So will his tape pop quite like it did as a sophomore? That's what I'm curious to see. But yeah, you know, Bryson, I messaged with him a little bit just the last couple of days because he was a visitor for K-State at the Central Florida game. Said he really enjoyed his time in Manhattan, kind of finally putting on the recruiting hat and not just being there kind of with Avery or with Justin Stevens or somebody. He enjoyed kind of being the focal point, but also mentioned to me, guys, that again, feeling some pressure, I think, to, you know, join one of the local schools sooner than later. And he admitted he would like to be kind of on the building blocks of a class, but at the same time, didn't mention any sort of timetable. He's not in any sort of rush. Yeah, really interested kid. Interesting to see, where his recruitment is going. really good kid and a guy that I like. It'll just be, he reminds me a little bit of Phillip Brooks. Like I keep trying to maybe tamper some of Bryson Hayes. And I don't mean that in the sense that he's not the type of player that we believe he can be. But you know, he's not, I'm blanking on the name, Kevin, the Malik Benson. Yeah. You know what I mean? He's not that. He's very fast. He's not Trey Richardson, but definitely a guy that's going to separate, definitely a guy that can play at the Power Five level.
It sounds weird to say because this is a guy that clocked in the 4.3s at multiple camps this summer. So we're not saying that he's slow, obviously, but he doesn't have track speed. And I know that sounds weird to say, or he doesn't have the level of track speed that like a Malik Benson does. This isn't a guy that's going to go out and run 10, 400 meters and stack up scholarship offers off of the football field based on what he does on a track. You know, he's somebody that his best part of a race on in the 100 meters is going to be 1 to 10 yards or 1 to 20 yards or whatever else. And so that's part of the reason I think he clocks really well. We got to see kind of an interesting rep while we were down there, and it was one rep, but we got to see him take a really long, like, jet sweep type carry. Nice. And you could see the quickness, you know, in the acceleration early. But then by the time he was trying to get around everybody all the way out to the outside, you know, he didn't have, you know, quite that fifth or sixth gear that maybe you see with some of these guys that have really special speed, like, you know, Malik Benson, Trey Richardson had it, like you said, some of those guys. And so, you know, Bryson runs well in track. I think he's what, like a 10.9, 10.95, yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
but he runs well, but he's not going to run well enough for a college staff and particularly a Power Five staff to look at his track time and be like, we have to go get that guy. And when you look at, you know, a guy that we're going to talk about probably here in a minute, you know, when you look at Jaron Kanick, when you look at Malik Benson, you know, I'm not saying their tape wasn't important, but the track time was what kind of set people up as, okay, we have to go get this guy. This is a special athlete. With Hayes, I think if he doesn't have the great junior tape and through no fault of his own, if he's just not getting the kind of service that he was getting from Avery Johnson this year, I think the way that his offer list is going to grow is going to be him having to go to camps and prove himself there, run the fast 40 time because he is going to be faster in those shorter distances, play really well, and potentially earn bigger offers that way if that's what he wants. And if not, if it's the sort of thing where he needs to, or he feels like, hey, I want to decide quickly, I like the offers I have, I like the local schools or whatever else, then the rest of that stuff isn't going to matter.
And Swain, as I look at the offer sheet there, I wanted to throw it back to you because I know you're familiar with this player. I mentioned Phillip Brooks as maybe kind of a K-State comp for him. Another kid that I think fits really well for anybody from the Kansas City area that got to see Jalen Knoll play that's now at Iowa State. That seems to be Bryson Hayes all over.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And I think he screams Big 12 to me just in terms of the style of play. I just don't know if he's smart. Like, I don't know if a Big 10 offense is what is going to be best for him to showcase the talent he has. Cause I think KU sees him as someone that can line up in the slot, can line up on the outside at times as well, and just get him the ball. You know, I don't know if he's like Luke Grimm's not a good comparison, but in terms of like the versatility that KU uses with someone like Luke Grimm, like I think that is the type of role you could see with him. And I do think, you know, if you really like, said Michael pick, I'd say, you know, KU or K-State probably is where he'll end up. I know KU's gone really all out for him. They started early before K-State, and Bryson's even admitted that, where KU's getting him on campus for visits like back in February, or that would have been March when spring practice was going on. Like, KU was on him early and they're going to keep going after him. And it's kind of going to be one of those where if he decides to go somewhere else, they just kind of put your hands up. You did everything you could. And sometimes kids just don't want to go to your school, and I think that's totally acceptable. So I agree. I'll be one that he doesn't seem like someone that's going to go do the camp circuit again next summer. I don't get that feeling. I think this past summer he did the camps, he ran the times, if you don't believe the times you ran at other camps, like, then that's kind of on you as a coaching staff, right? And, you know, I always laugh when you hear, oh, you got to come run at our camp. Well, like, what? Like, you don't believe that I ran, you know, 4.3 at five other camps over the last year? Like, what
In fairness, if somebody says they ran 4.3 at Missouri, do not believe them.
And if they say they ran 4.3
at KU, that's kind of a running joke here, but Missouri camp measurements have been known to be inflated to all get out. I mean, I'm pretty sure I could roll up on crutches and run like a 5 flat there if I really had to.
Well, one guy that is really, really fast. Actually, here, let's wrap up with the 2025s real quick, actually, and go to Lincoln Cure. Yep. Because look, this recruitment has gone like to the moon. He's another one that did a lot of camps over the summer, right? You know, KU, K-State, Missouri, all offered after he had camps. And now all of a sudden, now that his tape's getting out, like, you see the offer list in front of you, like Auburn, Florida, Illinois. I think Penn State might be in there too. Like, yep. This is a recruitment that
Michigan offered him. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really blown up. Kevin, I know you're really a big fan of Lincoln. So what have you seen from him?
Yeah. Lincoln to me is the number two player in the state behind Jaden Woods. And, you know, we, you know, just a little peek behind the curtain, you know, our rankings people, and we do too. I mean, anytime you can verify somebody's athleticism, it makes sense that you would use that. And, you know, and Lincoln's got great track times. He's a really good basketball player. He's got all of these different things. The football tape wasn't necessarily there. And I know the three of us kind of talked about it off the show. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like this was a Jaron Kanick situation where, you know, Kanick being out in Hayes, you know, not trying to insult anybody in Hayes, Kansas, love Hayes, Kansas, but with Jaron being out there in Hayes, the way that Jaron was going to become a national recruit, it wasn't based on his tape. In order for him to get recruiters out to Hayes, he needed to do something on the track where people could look at it and say, like, okay, this linebacker is running 10-5. We got to go get this guy. And I kind of felt similarly about Lincoln with him being out there in Goodland, which, for those of you who don't know, is, you know, darn near to Colorado.
It's basically Colorado area code.
Yeah, I mean, they play games against Colorado high schools. To put it another way, this is kind of shocked me. He is 2 hours closer to Lawrence than he is to Lubbock. So, like, that tells you how far west he is out there. And so for him to get recruiters to come out to Goodland and notice what he has and really get recruited at a national level, it was going to be on the track. And when you look at what he did this past spring, you know, as a sophomore in high school, running a 22.4, 200 meter dash, that's fast. That's really fast when you're 6'6", 215. And, you know, to run that, he's a hurdler. I mean, how many 6'6" tight end hurdlers do you know? And so when you look at pretty much everywhere he camped offered him, the track times that he had and everything, and then with the track times there as sort of the backbone, once his junior tape started coming out, Ryan, because I know we both watched quite a bit of his junior tape. Once the junior tape came out, so they said, you know, okay, he's not just a track guy. He's actually a really good football player that also runs 22.4. I feel like his offer list may only be starting too. I think he's going to continue to blow up and get offers pretty much everywhere.
I lost my light, guys, but I'm still here on audio, so that matters. So to our YouTube folks, sorry about that. I'm in the dark again. But no, I mean, the Jaron Kanick stuff is great on so many different levels. And again, that's not – Kevin and I aren't saying, like, you know, he is equal to Jaron Kanick or what have you. But, I mean, again, as Kevin laid out, so many parallels. I think the duality and the versatility that he could show from a positional standpoint – I think we all agree that he's a tight end. I mean, in the modern day tight end, what you're looking for, that is Lincoln Cure. But I mean, I know K-State, at least at their camp and maybe some other camps, they wanted to see him at DN just to see. And I don't think you could go wrong there either. But I wanted to say, point this stat out again, and it's been, let's see, a couple days here. Sure. But so the Keisha put out their state high school football offensive stat leaders for all levels, and this was September 22nd. So Lincoln Cure, this was through 3 weeks, guys. He was the number two receiver in the state with 16 catches for 451 yards. I mean, 16. He's only caught 16 passes. And let me tell you, that's probably like, he probably leads the team in catches per game at like three a game, maybe two,
yeah.
because Goodland is running and running and running and running.
Mm-hmm.
16 catches for 451 yards for people that suck at math like myself. That is 28 yards per reception, folks.
Oh my God.
And I again, there will be folks out there that will probably say, well, he's playing, you know, it's Goodland. Lincoln Cure, his recruitment and what he does statistically would be even worse, and I mean worse in a positive standpoint, against opponents in the EKL, the Sunflower League, 6A, Wichita City League, it doesn't matter. I mean, this kid would be a freak anywhere you put him, and his recruitment would probably be bigger. Would be bigger if he wasn't in Goodland. So I'm with Kevin. It took seeing the junior tape to kind of, yeah. you know, validate it. But Swain, I think if you're talking, you know, long-term projection, that's where a Babalola probably sneaks in to the top two. But if we're talking right now, and I know Kevin and I are big on finding the margin of not only high ceiling, but also high floor, Lincoln Cure is probably number two in the state right now.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? That's the fun part about doing this, right? Like it is a question of, all right, what are we ranking? And now we've had this conversation before, so we don't need to rehash it. But yeah, I'm so impressed with Lincoln Cure. And like seeing him in camp too, he just looks different than everybody else. Like he looks like someone that is going to go to name your high level Big Ten school,
right?
Name your SEC school, go spend 2 years in the weight room, come out, be 6'6", 235, and like 6% body fat, and just go crush people, right? Like it's a guy that you'd see go to Iowa and end up being a second round draft pick, right? Like he's going to go to a really, really good school. And I don't think it's going to be in the state of Kansas or even the state of Colorado. Like it's going to be somewhere else that's really major. And he's one that I don't think Keegan will be very much like in it, but I'll be very interested to see the junior days in January and into March, like where all he decides to go. Cause he really does have the pick. Like any number of Big Ten schools in the region, outside the region, SEC schools, Big 12 schools, like I'll be really interested to see where his head's at in terms of trying to narrow this thing down. Cause in terms of breadth and wealth of options, like it's him and Jaden Woods. And I'd be really interested for both to see where they kind of decide to go take those unofficial visits.
I think K-State's in this one, Swain. I think you mentioned kind of the emphasis that KU's put on Bryson Hayes. That's K-State with Lincoln Cure. The family is, I think, long-standing K-State supporters. They recruited his brother that ended up at Fort Hays State, probably wanted him as a preferred walk-on, but it was the COVID year, so I think things were a little bit more limited, and so he took the scholarship at Fort Hays State. But I think this is one that K-State is very much in the thick of it. That's not me saying crystal ball to K-State or anything, because I do think, like you said, he probably does, a kid from Goodland probably does want to experience some things first and just make sure he's done his proper research. But I think the Wildcats will be in this thing to the very, very end.
Interesting. Well, let's get to, now we're getting to 2026, and this can this can be it for us. John Michael Fountain, Iowa State offered him over the summer. K-State offered him after a game day visit, and then he visits KU, and KU extends an offer. Seeing him in person, he looks like a sophomore in high school, so his body will develop. But in terms of traits, Kevin, like, is this about as good as you can ask for a sophomore linebacker?
Yeah, I mean, the report was that Iowa State offered after he ran 22 miles an hour on Wichita Northwest Catapult during their scrimmage against Mill Valley. Like, basically, they told Nate Shieldhouse, who, of course, as we talk about on this podcast, does an amazing job recruiting Kansas for Iowa State. They're out first on a lot of guys, and they're out first on a lot of Wichita Northwest guys. They recruit that school really, really well. And, you know, once he heard, hey, this guy hit 22 miles an hour, based on the freshman tape and everything, it was worth an offer to them, even without seeing him as a sophomore. And Ryan and I saw him in person last year. He was starting games for Wichita Northwest, which went to the state quarters, I believe. As a true freshman, or I guess high school doesn't have redshirt freshmen. As a freshman, he was
Kevin, were you a redshirt freshman in high school?
They would have redshirted me every year if they could have. But no, it was he looked pretty good last year. And you know, Ryan, it was interesting because talking to Coach Martin last year, he already knew what he had in John Michael Fountain as a freshman and said, hey, this is the guy, you know, kind of poking at it like, hey, this is the guy to watch. We see him in the opener this year against Bishop Carroll. And I mean, they were just dominant, one. And two, I mean, Fountain had just an absolute freak interception in that game where he jumped up. Quarterback tried to throw it over him as he was rushing the quarterback. He just jumped up and caught it and went in for a touchdown. Saw increased physicality from him in that game, I thought, too. He had some pop. But Ryan, I feel like when you look at John Michael Fountain, when you look at Michael Boganowski, this is kind of the way the linebacker position is progressing, where you get these sort of safety-type bodies who have a little bit of length to them, who have this kind of athleticism, and then you throw them in the box and you let them chase.
I know. And I mean, where he is right now, I think he could be a college safety with his athleticism and the way how fluid he is in coverage. But obviously, again, knowing that he's only a sophomore, more weight room development, he will probably turn into an outside linebacker, but he's going to be an outside linebacker that can be an all-purpose outside linebacker. And Kevin and I, after the game, we were talking with Coach Martin from Wichita Northwest, head coach, and I told him, and he agreed kind of reluctantly because you don't want to put anybody in that box. But I'm like, Coach, he's maybe the number that he wears, because I think he's one. I'm like, he's Breece Hall on defense. And I don't just mean that in like in a lot of different ways. I mean, their body type, I think, is almost identical where John Michael is now to where Breece was in high school. The physicality and kind of the mentality they play with, there's an edge, there's kind of a
the way they carry themselves
to them. Yeah, you know what I mean? A swagger to them. Swain, this is a recruitment to me that hasn't even, I mean, obviously he's 26, but I mean, hasn't even started yet. I think the junior tape is going to float out there this winter, or sophomore tape is going to float out there this winter, and people are going to be flocking. I mean, I think this one has all the pieces to go national, certainly regional, because like Kevin said, everybody already knew John Michael Fountain last year. I had folks in Wichita telling me, you need to turn on the tape of this John Michael Fountain. And I'm going, okay, Wichita Northwest, what grade is he? Oh, he's a freshman. And everybody that sent me, you know, those tips was not wrong, Swain, because he's the real deal. I mean, he's probably, Kevin, would we say the early favorite to be the number one in 2026?
Yeah, I think right now the favorites for 2026 are coming from Wichita Northwest. You know, whether it's he or Jalen Mason, I think the quarterback there. He's up there, obviously collegiate. Ryan, we saw the two collegiate 2026s, you know, who are
Jaden Parker and Sebastian Hines Turner. Remember,
those are going to be probably in that discussion as well. But yeah, I mean, it's funny. And then Wichita Northwest too. You know, you look at Chase Carter. They've got another couple of, you know, 2026 guys where, depending on how they grow or their body, you know, kind of changes, maybe they'll be in that discussion. But as we talk about it right now, I would say probably 1-2 in some order. I would say Fountain would probably be my number one right now, with Jalen Mason number two. I don't know. How do you feel about that, Ryan?
Yeah, I would. I think right now you'd have to put Fountain there. I mean, he's been a varsity starter for 2 years. Although, as we've talked about, you know, kind of privately, it'll be interesting to see Jalen Mason as a quarterback, that prime time position, and training with a guy like Justin Hoover. We saw what Avery Johnson did over like a year and a half with Justin. We'll now consider Jalen Mason as a Coach Hoover guy for, you know, 2.5-3 years of developmental time. So his progression might end up putting him in number one. But either way, I think if you're betting right now, I would bet heavy that Wichita Northwest has the number one guy in 2026.
good rule of thumb too. Don't bet on high school games.
Oh, well, yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, I'm also realizing here we're 54 minutes in and we've not talked about Michael Boganowski. So he should probably, give a quick little update. So he visited Kansas. He's visited now his three contenders. That's everything that I've heard so far, is that it's still, you know, Oklahoma, KU, and K-State. And it kind of just in a holding pattern now where I think schools are all kind of just waiting and seeing what's going to happen. I don't think anyone really knows what will happen. That's at least the read I've been getting. Anything different for you, Ryan?
Well, no more after Friday. Making the trek from Kansas City out to Junction City this Friday night. Big matchup for them with Washburn Rural. That's got a lot of nice prospects on that team too. So, I mean,
that's
this will
a good looking squad.
This will be a good game, right? But my first chance to see Michael Boganowski in action, and it embarrasses me to even say that it's been taken this long for me to get out and finally see him, you know, in a padded setting. So excited to see that. I'll know more, but I'm with you, Swain. You know, I kind of rattle the cage. It's becoming kind of a weekly thing, right? And it's kind of just business as usual. It's what it's always been. And I don't think that it's fluff. You know, I don't think that for anybody that thinks that this is becoming kind of a Dylan Edwards thing, I don't think that's the right vibe with Boganowski. Mm-hmm. I mean, I honestly think he's genuine when he says, I just don't know yet. I know it gets old for fans to read and they're tired of it. And, you know, he's already been on visits. You know, what more could he need to see? I don't know, but you know, it's his recruitment and you know, this, he only gets to do this one time. And so if he still doesn't have the feeling, he doesn't have the feeling, yeah. But I do think that we're getting close, but I've said that before, but yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens on Friday, how he plays. It also sounds like Chris Klieman will be there. This is their off week, remember? So K-State coaches will be out in full force. You know, he made it a point to go see Avery Johnson and Dylan Edwards. Oh, well, Dylan was already decommitted by that point, but when it made it a point to see them, you know, last week or last year for a game. And so he's going to make it a point to see Boganowski on Friday. So, you know, I don't know if that matters. I would imagine KU will see him if they haven't already. I know OU staff has already been out to Junction City to see him. So, you know, he's been on a KU visit, right? He's been on a K-State visit. He's been on an Oklahoma visit. There's not much more he can do this fall. So unless he just wants to wait it out, you know, and kind of have some sort of big announcement come closer to signing day, it's got to be getting close, but hopefully I'll have more to report on after Friday.
I'm interested to see him against Washburn Rural though, just real quick, because that's a team that has a lot of like bigger guys. When you look at, you know, is it the Heim kid? That's the linebacker.
Both Heims, Jaron and JC, yeah. Paxson Bettis.
Plays, yeah, like 215, yeah. 220 linebackers. They've got a defensive end.
Jaron Lane.
Yep, they've got the offensive lineman Hawks is still there, right?
Yeah,
he's massive, like 6'8", 280. So I mean, they've got some really big, good sized kids, and you know, it's I'll be very interested to see. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I mean, Michael Boganowski, he's the number one kid in the state for a reason. He's going to play well, but I do think that this could present one of the bigger challenges, just in terms of, hey, he's going to be going up against some college-sized kids this week.
Well, and they bullied Manhattan last week. Washburn Rural did. And they're one of the tougher, what you would consider, you know, one of the more universally tough teams year to year under Joe Schartz. Mm-hmm. So defending state champions, Manhattan as well. I should point that out. So, yeah, I mean, Washburn Rural's for real this year. So this will be a good test for Boganowski.
Yeah, I'll be really interested to see how this one plays out over the end, right? It's one of those you just kind of take your hands off a little bit and, all right, we'll just – see what happens. Cause I think you're right, Ryan. Like, I think it's just trying to figure out where he wants to go to college. And he's got three good options and three different options at very different points in the whole realm of college football. I'll give you guys a chance. Any other guys we haven't talked about that I'm not going to have profiles ready for him, but any other guys you guys want to highlight as maybe some guys to keep track of? We can start with you, Ryan.
Well, I was going to say, let's start with Kevin, and then I can pick up some leftovers. So leave me a there couple, Kevin.
All right, go, Kevin.
I see how this goes. You know, just got to spring that out on me. You know, it was kind of interesting. We saw a guy that we probably won't talk about from a KUK State standpoint, from a scholarship standpoint, but a guy that I think will be very interesting potentially as a preferred walk-on down the line was Brody Weir at Wellington. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at what he brought to that team in terms of being a blocker, in terms of being a physical guy, I could see him being a Jarrett Casey type guy that winds up going somewhere. Ryan, you were really impressed with his skill level for how strong he was. He made sort of a toe tap catch, you know, for a touchdown that you don't see a lot of guys who are 6'3", 240, you know, at the high school level do. He's a 2025, and so he'll be an interesting guy. And then I don't know that the athletic explosion is going to be there for him to be a scholarship guy for either school. But knowing what Kansas wants and knowing what K-State wants, I could see him being one of those guys that they really, really try and pursue as a preferred walk-on who could wind up playing there on down the line. I think, you know, we talked about, you know, most of these guys over the last few weeks. A guy that's kind of off the radar that I think will be interesting that Ryan and I have talked about is Conley Hovey, the tight end defensive end over at Lewisburg. He's a guy that, you know, doesn't have a whole lot of tape. His brother was committed to KU, right, as a preferred walk-on, Jace Hovey?
Jace, yes, correct.
Hovey was a badass. I mean, that he was a good, really good, straightforward athlete and everything, you know, kind of a rocked up guy that maybe didn't move as well side to side, but was really physical, you know, pretty athletic moving forward. His brother's a 6'5" tight end. And so if he develops, you know, some of that, he's a 2025, he's played basketball, he's got some solid tape of him playing above the rim. So if he winds up filling out the way that his brother did, and his brother ran pretty well from what I remember too, Ryan, like in terms of 40-yard dashes and testing and things like that, you know, we have this tight end class in 2025 where you've got Lincoln Cure and Desaun Brame and all these guys. Don't be surprised if this Hovey kid, if things come together for him a little bit, if he doesn't wind up joining that group and maybe even slipping into a Big 12 offer, you know, if not, certainly, you know, I would think MAC schools would be kind of all over him.
Hmm. All right, Ryan.
I got three. I'm going to be fast. Right. I'm going to be fast and concise, Swain.
I love it.
Three. The first one that I'm going to mention is a guy that Kevin and I saw, and he's already on KU and K-State's radar, and those are the only radars for the time being. Maybe Oklahoma State. I think they're starting to poke around a little bit. That's Andre Williams Jr. at Wichita East. He's an edge.
I wanted to leave him for you.
He's an edge kid, 2025. The body is already there. He's going to get good coaching at Wichita East from a guy named Shaq Reed that was played at K-State. KU recruited him as well, was highly thought of out of Butler County Community College. So they've moved him down. He used to be Wichita Northwest, if you can believe that. How stacked that roster is. If you imagine Andre Williams on it, it's not even fair. But Wichita East moved him down, put his hand in the ground. So he's developing there as we see this season. That's a kid that I think could really blow up more in camps, probably coming up in the spring or maybe some of those junior days like you talked about, Swain. Another one that I want to talk about is Dawson Merritt at Blue Valley. Nice. We've kind of been under the impression that McGuire Richmond is the kind of the power five linebacker type. And this isn't to say McGuire is not. He's Mason Richmond's younger brother. Mason started as a redshirt freshman offensive tackle at Iowa out of Blue Valley High School as well. So, you know, the bloodlines are good there. McGuire is a really good player. I mean, he really is. He's an Austin Moore for K-State fans listening. He's an Austin Moore type. But Dawson Merritt is more what the Power 5 coaches are looking for at linebacker right now, which is right that lean frame but long. He is incredibly long. Iowa State has offered him. Boston College has offered him. I don't think it will end there. I think they will come fast and furious once his junior tape gets around another 25. And the last guy I want to talk about is somebody that I saw last Friday night, one of several on Gardner Edgerton. And I'm going to type up a more long form article to come that will include several other guys, one of which, teaser, was at KU last weekend that I really liked. But Braven Powell is the quarterback at Gardner Edgerton. I talked with him afterwards. He would like to stay a quarterback, but he's probably not going to stay a quarterback if he wants to go to the highest level. 6'3", 200-pound athlete. Iowa State's all over him. KU is after him pretty hard, as well as North Dakota State. Those were three that he kind of highlighted to me. A really good athlete. I think you can put him at linebacker. Then you put him at safety. Head coach Jesse Owens said it doesn't matter. He's a really good teammate, good leader, and an athlete that could play anywhere across the board. He's going to have a lot of tape, right? Because Gardner Edgerton, I would think, would be the favorite to get to the 6A finals out of the Eastern bracket. So he's going to have a lot of tape. It's going to be kind of seeing some of that sophomore tape when he was a receiver last year, seeing kind of what he does on the run as a quarterback in his junior tape, and kind of putting the pieces together and saying, do I trust my God on what this kid can be? He's a high-level player. I'm really interested.
He's one of those guys that outruns angles sometimes, because I don't think people realize how fast he's going. You know, if he gets to the sideline, you look at him and you're like, he's kind of jogging along, and then he just kind of goes.
He's got a great frame too, Swain. I mean, this is a kid that, like, I mean, 200, but I mean, he's filled out well in his lower half. I mean, strong thighs. So I mean, this kid could easily be, you know, 225 and be the kind of outside linebacker again, like I was talking with Merritt. I really like Braven Powell, one of several on Gardner Edgerton, I think, is going way beneath the radar.
I love it. And I can add on the Dawson Merritt point. I know Brian Borland, the defensive coordinator for KU, was at his game this past Friday. No offer as of yet, but sometimes these things, right, you wait until you get him on campus for a visit, then you can do it kind of in person and connect that way. So we'll see. KU's evaluated him. They know about him. I think they'll end up offering, because I think you're right. He does have kind of that frame and that athletic profile. I think a lot of Power Five staffs would like, and I think the local staffs too would like to get in on. So I think that's what we've got in only an hour and 6 minutes.
I'm done. I'm wrapping it up.
Yeah, that's pretty good for us sometimes, but thank you as always for listening to Interstate, the State of Kansas recruiting show. We'll definitely continue more of these throughout the fall as we see more games and as the recruiting process for some of these guys really starts to unfold, as game day visits start happening and as we kind of get into the playoffs. So thank you as always for listening, and we will talk to you all again soon.
Greetings, Fantasy Warriors. I'm Heath Cummings, your guide to fantasy dominance on FFT Dynasty. Join me this offseason where mock drafts become epic showdowns and every pick shapes your legacy.
If I was Adam, with the team that he's built, Will Levis makes so much more sense.
And that's not all. We're peeling back the curtain on the future with our exclusive 2024 NFL Draft Prospect Profiles. Uncover hidden gems that'll elevate your roster to legendary status.
Puka Nacua. After Cooper Kupp, we really have no idea who's going to get the targets.
Keaton Mitchell of East Carolina. Explosive speed is ridiculous.
This isn't just a podcast. It's a playbook for champions. Subscribe to FFT Dynasty now, and together we'll conquer the fantasy football frontier. Your dynasty journey starts here.